Now a father was training his son on his faith. So he took him to study or to recite the Westminster Confession of Faith, especially the shorter catechism. And his son became very good at it. He can recite most of the questions and answers. So one day, on a public bus, his son has got very excited because he knows all the questions and answers and back and forth. And he just stands in front of all the people that he doesn't know and asking his father a question. He asked, Daddy, can you tell me what is the chief Indian man? His father's like, what? The chief Indian man, son? I don't know what you're talking about. His father, you don't even know what's the chief Indian man? His father said, I don't know. I mean, and he was very embarrassed because in front of all the people, like his son just asked this very silly question, what's the chief Indian man? And he's like, son, really, I don't know. Can we talk it back home? You know, when we get back home, I'll answer questions, but I really don't know what you're talking about. His son said, father, I know the answer. The chief Indian man is to glorify God and to enjoy Him forever. Awesome answer. You know what I mean? Like the father's like, oh, now I know what you're talking about. You mean the chief end of man. What's the chief end of man? You know, the chief end of man is to glorify God and to enjoy Him forever, right? The chief end of man. His son says, yeah, that's what I'm talking about. The chief end of man, you know, the chief end of man. Now, brothers and sisters, when you just read those scriptures, how do you feel? Feel a little lost? Feel a little confused? Yeah, I mean, when I read the scripture in that part of the passage, I was lost. I was confused. I was like, Jesus, what were you trying to talk to me? Who is the chief Indian man? I lost it. I couldn't figure out what the passage was talking about. Because look at it by yourself. Look at it by yourself. What did Jesus do? He took the man, a blind man, out of the village. He spit on his eyes. I mean, that was just disgusting. How could you spit on a man's eyes and expect him to see things? And they lay hand upon him for a while, maybe shaking, you know, and ask him, now can you see anything? What was Jesus talking about? Who's the chief Indian man? And then after he said, oh, I can see man. I mean, he was healed a little bit, right? He can see things. He was blind and now he can see things. He was like, I can see man. They're like trees walking. It's like, when I read, I was like, Jesus, are you trying to show off something here? You know, are you trying to show that you can do things and do it in a mysterious way that nobody can understand you, that you are just above everything? But, you know, that's against the character of Jesus. You know, whenever He heals people, He did it in one shot. Any other places in the scripture, He did in one shot. He said, you're healed. Your faith has saved you. And boom. You know, the paralyzed man just stood up. Or the blind man just can't see. Or even the dead man, the Lazarus. He said, Lazarus, come out. And Lazarus, what did Lazarus do? He came out in one shot. It was a big miracle Jesus performed. He didn't do nothing special. You know, He did spit on people's eyes, but right after that, people can see clearly everything. Now, in this particular passage of Scripture, what was Jesus talking about? What was Jesus driving at? That was my confusion. So So what do you do when you have a confusion under the scripture? Now, what was Jesus trying to make his point? What is his point? Now, the secret is in the context. Whenever you have a problem concerning the scripture, look at the context. Look at what the context or what the whole passage, a bigger context was about. So I look at the context, I went up to the paragraph before, which we just read. What was that? That they were on a boat with disciples, Jesus was with disciples, and what happened? They had only one loaf of bread. See, they had only one loaf of bread. No, no, 13 of them, big guys, macho guys, fishermen, you know, they can eat tons of bread, I believe. If they go to Olive Garden with that buffet, they will try all the soups, three kinds, and with all the loaves of bread, and a salad and everything, they will turn it upside down. But with only one loaf of bread, you know, they were worrying about their lack of food. They were worrying about, totally, legitimate worry about their food. But what does that have to do with Jesus spitting on people's eyes? What does that have to do? It has to do with that in a big way. In a big way. Because Jesus was on a mission to train his disciples to be faith, to have faith in him. So he has to open their eyes, the eye of faith, that open their eyes so that they can truly know who Jesus is, and then they can truly trust in him. So in that boat, they couldn't trust him. Even after he performed, you know, 5 loaves of bread feed 5,000, and 4 loaves of bread feed 4,000, and with tons of baskets of broken pieces left, but they couldn't see with their eyes that Jesus is the Lord, that Jesus is able to provide all their needs, that Jesus is the Messiah. They were waiting. So, they have eyes. Disciples have eyes. But they couldn't see. They couldn't see clearly this Jesus in the same boat. The Jesus who performed such miracles to show his power, his identity, but they couldn't see with their eyes, even despite Jesus standing there right beside of them. So, the disciples have eyes. They can see something about Jesus. You know, just like the blind man who can see men like walking like trees, you know. They couldn't see clearly. Then we go up to the next paragraph, which we just read, about the Pharisees. Right? What's wrong with the Pharisees? They're just totally blind. I mean, they go to Jesus saying, "Hey, Jesus, can you show me another sign? Can you show me another sign? I don't know. I don't trust you. Let me argue with you about the scripture, about the law, about the code, about the cleaning code, about the tithing or the alms or all the purification procedure, all the temple regulation. Let's talk about that." But Jesus is more than that. Jesus is the giver of the law. Jesus is the light of man. He's the bread of life. He wrote those laws. I mean, he's the writer, he's the author. But you don't argue with the writer or the author about his book, because you will defeat him. So the problem of the Pharisee is, they have eyes and they can't see at all. They are in total darkness. After reading those texts or context of the scripture, I came to my conclusion. I understand who the chief Indian man is. And who the chief Indian man is here? That Jesus performed another miracle, another sign, to show first the Pharisees are blind, are totally blind, that they need Jesus, they need to see Jesus. At the same time, disciples, they're half blind. They're like man walking around, see people like just like trees. You can't see Jesus clearly. So Jesus performed that miracle to show that one party need to see Jesus, and the other party need to see Jesus more clearly. When I came to that conclusion, I thought just my eyes were just opening up. Because the scripture, it just opened up in front of my eyes. And I felt I can see Jesus a little more clearly. Brothers and sisters, when you study scriptures, I know a lot of you study scriptures day and night and trying to make your devotion time and trying to understand all the difficult Indian men in the scriptures. Brothers, let me encourage you. Don't lose your heart. Go for it. It's there. The Holy Spirit is in you. The power of God is in you. Jesus lives in you. And He lives through the scriptures, trying to reveal you His glory, His beauty, His wisdom, His power. And it is through scriptures that we get to know God a little bit more. But that takes time. That takes hard work. That takes dedication. I spent hours after hours meditating on the scripture, praying to God, talking to God, asking God to show me. What does it mean? Because I didn't get it. I didn't get it. By His grace, by His power, He showed me. And I believe He can do it again. He can do it to you. If you have questions concerning Scripture, you have had doubts about the Scriptures, you need to do the same. It's hard, but it's worth it. Because above all, our faith needs to find its foundation in where? In the Word of God. That's our foundation of faith is. You know, we can have great worship experience. We have uplifting, upbeat, very good worship service. Experience it. You can experience the presence of God. You can experience His love. You can see His glory. He's opened your eyes. You can see Him. You worship Him. That's great. Have a good time. That's great. But when it comes to real faith issues, when it comes to real faith problems, you got to get the scriptures right. You got to go to the scripture and find your answers there. Because people ask you all questions about scriptures, and if you can't give them a satisfying answer, where are you going to lead them to believe? If what we believe that this is the Word of God, and people say, let me ask you some questions concerning this part and that part, and you'll say, well, I don't know the answer, but I just have faith. People say, oh, come on, I have faith too. I believe in Buddha. I believe in luck. I believe in self-motivation. I believe in the goodness of man. I believe in the God of Islam. I believe in the God of Japanese religion. I believe in the God of Taiwanese religion. I believe all kinds of God. And they all have their reasonings. They all have their faith. You know what I mean? Faith without this, it's not going to stay there. It's not going to be good enough. It's not going to be strong enough for you to bring people to the God of His Word. If people cannot even trust His own Word, God's Word, I'm wondering how could they trust the God in the deeper sense. You see, we spend a lot of time serving. We spend a lot of time helping others. Those are good. We spend a lot of time doing stuff. We spend a lot of time praying. God, enjoy God's presence. That's all good. But we need to spend a considerable amount of time meditating on His Word. when you really get into the Word, the whole new world just opened up in front of your eyes. And your faith will be so strong and solid, and you go, wherever you go, God will use you in a mighty way. I believe that's what is happening in my life. I mean, look at me. I'm going to tell you about my history here. Brother Robert Huang just shared that English Corner thing. You know, I grew up in the English Corner. You know, I thought, wow, American. You know, white. Whoa, ABC. You know, fluent Chinese. But they're just bananas. They're white out, but the yellow inside. Oh, the yellow, white side, the white inside. Yeah. I grew up in English Corners. I just like English. I like English, and I learned a lot, but I didn't know anything about Christianity. I go to church, I study English. You know, I do Bible study, I study English with them, and I just sharpen my English and trying to, you know, to pursue my own career and, you know, to do things that normal people do. It is only when God opens my eyes with His Word, and I realize that this is truth. This is the only truth, the truth of God. This is the truth of life. This is the truth we should live by. Only then my life was changed. And God still uses Scripture to change my lives, to change it thoroughly and more deeper, in a deeper sense, and ask me for devotion, ask me for prayer, ask me for anything. But most importantly, I think the Word is the key. You see, I came to the United States for only about 10 years. I came to the United States and I became a Christian about 9 years ago. And it's because this deeper and strong desire to know His Word, to know His truth, that God sent me into the seminary. And after seminary, it is because this conviction that this is truth, that this is what we need for life, for eternity, that God sent me here to Houston Tiny Church. And I don't know if there's any other reason that God sent me here. Because I'm not qualified to tell you the truth. I'm not qualified in experience. I'm not qualified in age. I'm not qualified in ethnic background. I'm not qualified in English fluency. I'm not qualified in grammar speaking. I'm not qualified in any other places. The only place I'm qualified is my conviction that this is it. This is everything we have. We need to know about our faith, about our life, about God. I think that's the only qualification I have. And I think that's enough. I just told you all the big potatoes all rolled away. I'm the smallest one. I will remain the smallest one. But I believe the Word of God is great. It's great for the soul. I just said, it is awesome. It is glorious. It is magnificent. And when Jesus breaks the bread, what He meant is, He is the bread. That His Word is the bread. He, the Word, became flesh and dwelling upon us, among us. That Jesus is the Word. The Word was God and was with God. And He came to this earth to show us the truth, the life, the way. You see, He is the Word. He wants us to know His Word. And the emphasis is on the Word. Now we know that HCC has been here for how many years?
30 years.
Remember, this year is HCC's 30th anniversary. This church has been here for 30 years. I want to do a little a little raised hand kind of thing. How many of you have been here for more than 20 years? Raise your hand, please. 1, 2, 3, 4. 1, 2, 3, 4. Wow. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. How many of you have been here for more than 10 years? Raise your hand. 1, 2, 3, 4. I don't know. I mean, 10 years. 10 years. Thank you very much. Thank you very much. How many of you, how many of you have been here for more than 5 years, I say? 5 years. And how many of you have you been here for, well, less than 3 years? A little more. How many have been here for about less than 3 years? Come on, all of you, right? I only been here for 2 years. I'm still the smallest potato I'm not here. Yeah. Even if you look around us, you don't see many pastors. We're a lack of pastoral staff, to tell the truth. You look around the church, you see many, a whole lot more mature Christians. We're in lack of co-workers. If you look around this building, you will see we're landlocked. We don't have more land. We can't build. If we want to build a parking lot, we have to go up. We have to go up, like a downtown kind of parking lot kind of thing. 2-story or 3-story, go up. We have to go up. So resource-wise, we're pretty limited. We're like the disciples, you know, have only one loaf. Yeah, we're very limited in resource. But you look at the history of this church, Houston Chinese Church, you see God is God of miracles. He is still the God of miracles. Every time when the resource is the most needed and limited, He started to do miracles. Way beyond even you can imagine. When the resource is low, when people are moving away, when people don't have much to give to the church, when we are lacking co-workers or lack pastors, God started to do miracles Himself. He planned this church, planned that church, planned another church, planned another church. He just keeps doing it. No matter how many things you have, no matter how many worries or how bad it is, He keeps doing it. I know what God is going to do for the next 5 years. I don't know what He's going to do. But I believe He is still the God of miracles. I believe Jesus can take that one loaf of bread and He can break it and feed 1,000 more. I believe God can still use HCC with such a glorious history of God's miracles to do greater things in the future. Because I believe He is still the God of miracles. He can still use this church. He can still use church to reach out to His people. He can still use this church to reach out with His word. He can still use the church to glorify His name in Houston and around the world. I still believe in that. And I believe this faith is not from myself. I believe this is not for myself. It is not a kind of pride kind of thing. I want to be a bigger potato kind of thing. No, it is not. I believe this faith comes from God. Comes from Holy Spirit. Comes from Him who is the God of miracles. And I ask you to believe in it. and ask you to believe in this church, to believe the God of this church can still do miracles in the following years. And he's always able. So when you pray, pray bigger. Pray stronger. Pray with a bigger vision. Pray for the God of miracles. Pray he will continue work in this church, bring his glory. I don't know about you, I'm working in a project. I'm working on a project in the south, down to 88, in a place called Parallel. God has already started his work. We see it clearly. Everybody in that fellowship sees God is doing something. He's doing something. I see it. He's raising up people. He's raising up not very mature Christians, but as they are serving God, they are maturing up. He's raising people who are not very active in the church, but they start to have a bigger vision, a willingness to join in, to step in, to reach out to the people, to reach out to the community. So I pray the God of miracles will start the good work in you and join you into that project, to experience him, to see him, to trust him, to be that one loaf of bread, to be used by the Lord. To feed a thousand. Will you join me? Will you join us? Will you join the God of the same miracles? Now later we're going to come to the Lord's table. We're going to take the bread. We're going to take the cup. I want you to pray about it. Pray to the God of miracles. Pray for this church. Pray for vision. Pray the mighty move God will just roll over us. Turn us upside down. Get us excited to glorify his name. To work for him. To love his word. To bring the word to people. To feed the hunger. To set the captive free. To be the light and salt of the world. To bring love of Jesus, the word of God, into people's lives. Into the needy people around you, wherever you are. Let's pray together, shall we? Heavenly Father, today we want to focus our eyes on Jesus. The same Jesus that 2,000 years ago, who used five bread to feed 5,000 people, to use seven bread to feed 4,000. And Lord, how many bread we have here in this church? Lord Jesus, we ask you will break us. Oh, break our pride. Break our self-righteousness. You give us a new heart. A heart of tenderness. A heart of willingness. A heart of knowing you. Serving you. Knowing your word. And ready to give it out. In Jesus' name we pray.